When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Blackhawks Live. Tonight on Blackhawks Live, a new season, different faces, and the drive to win.
Jones high slot, fires, pants it, rebound, score! Connor Bedard, Donato to Nazar over the blue line, down the slot, he shoots, he scores! Frank Nazar on a breakaway!
Join Charlie Romiliotis as he dives into what's next for the Hawks. Here's Charlie.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome into Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romiliotis here at our downtown studio at WGN Radio. Got I'm Charlie. You got Jack Heinrich riding shotgun with me. Jack, what is up? Thanks for pinch hitting for me on Saturday. I know you had a really, really long day, but I appreciate you stepping in. It sounded like you did amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was fun. You did good as well. It was a fun day, even though the Hawks didn't have a fun third period, but it was fun nonetheless.
Yeah, I had a really fun time with John Weideman, who took care of me while Troy Murray was attending his son's wedding. So congratulations to the Murray family. But yeah, I am definitely no Troy Murray, and he makes it look way easier because he's such a pro. So gonna be fun to have Troy back on Wednesday and can slot into the role that I'm comfortable doing. But you did an awesome job for me, Jack. And yeah, tough one on Saturday for the Blackhawks. We're going to get to that in a little bit. We got our Lucas Reichel interview coming up. I recorded that after practice today. I thought he had one of his best games of the season on Saturday in Philadelphia. And then at the end, we'll do a little prospects update. We put out a poll on WGNradio.com. Which Blackhawks prospect that's not in the pros yet are you most excited about? Oliver Moore, Nick Lardis, Sam Rinzel, AJ Spellacy, who is a camp standout for the Blackhawks this year, or another prospect that we did not mention. Feel free to go to WGNradio.com/Blackhawks to vote on that Hawks click. All right, let's get to the what happened over the weekend, Jack. We talked, kind of rewinding to last week. Hawks, the Anaheim Ducks were in town. The Hawks hold a 2-1 lead going into the third period, and unfortunately they squandered it and lost that game, which was a disappointing result because it was a very, very winnable team, winnable game against a winnable team. And then the Hawks follow that up by being put in the same exact situation, a 2-1 lead going into the third period against the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, and they ended up hanging on, scored the empty netter late in the game to kind of seal the deal. And then you figured, okay, big confidence-building win for the Blackhawks at home, going into Philadelphia, and the Flyers aren't the greatest team. It was a winnable game again for the Blackhawks against a Flyers team that hasn't gotten great goaltending. They're, you know, it's a winnable game, and for them to hold a 2-0 lead through two periods, you felt maybe that was a big enough cushion for the Blackhawks to not fall into the old habits of protecting the one goal lead. And unfortunately, it was not enough. The Flyers score twice in the third period to force overtime, and then Matvei Michkov scores the overtime winner for the Flyers. Jack, you were obviously doing the pre and post. I was there. It was disappointing from what I saw, and it's just the way it happened too. Of, you know, we were talking about it post game about prevent defense typically prevents you from winning.
Yeah,
you would like to see the Blackhawks turn on their flip the mindset to let's go score the next goal rather than trying to sit back and protect the lead.
Yeah, and I think you said going into the third period, you're like, the next goal is going to be big either way, and it was the Flyers that got it. And that crowd was restless. They're booing during that power play the Flyers had, the back-to-back they didn't score on, and then they get the one, and the whole thing turns. So it does seem like when that happens with the Hawks, if they're up 2-0 and then they give up that one goal or that next goal or a goal that cuts into the lead, like even against Anaheim, they tied it up and you can kind of see like, oh, okay, the whole momentum switches just like that really quickly. And that's something they got to stop. And going to try to play to win the game instead of not to lose the game, I think that's like their big thing in that third period. Instead of sitting back protecting, they should try to keeping on the offensive end more, keeping the puck away from their opponent.
Yeah, the first 40 minutes, they were what they were. But you're right. The crowd, it was a quiet crowd through 40 minutes. They were booing after a power play. I mean, it was, the Hawks had the momentum in their favor. I will say this, though, too. I didn't like the first 7 or so minutes of the Blackhawks. Like, the Flyers came out and they really had their legs going. It took a while. It took the first TV timeout for the Blackhawks to really settle into the game. And I would like to see the Blackhawks start out of the gates a little bit better. Even though they did end up scoring the first 2 goals of the game, it felt like the Flyers set the tone early on. And you'd like to see 2 things from the Blackhawks. One, be the team that asserts the dominance or that asserts themselves into the game first. And in the third period is figuring out a way to protect the leads. And I shouldn't even use the word protect because it makes it seem like they're just kind of sitting on it. More so just find a way to really up the energy in the third period and go out and get that go-ahead goal or insurance goal, I should say, to make sure that it's kind of like the dagger in the heart of the opponent versus if you just try sitting on it for 20 minutes, eventually it feels like they could crack. And, you know, unfortunately that's what happened with the Flyers. And so I didn't like the first 7 minutes that the Hawks did settle down. And then it was that third period, unfortunately. I mean, one of the highlights, and we talked about it really first intermission, second intermission, and after the game was the fourth line Lucas Reichel, Pat Maroon, Craig Smith. I thought all 3 of them had their legs going. Pat Maroon makes an unbelievable pass to Lucas Reichel, who snapped a 10-game goal drought and a 7-game point drought. And then he ends up getting another assist later on. Maroon gets his first goal as a Blackhawk. So I thought that was one of the better games that the Blackhawks have played, the fourth line has played for the Blackhawks this year.
Yeah, they really gave them that energy. I mean, they're they had the 2 goals on that line. So, they played really well. And you kind of wish that if you're getting that energy from that fourth line, it kind of trickles up to the other ones. But it didn't really happen. And, I mean, Luke Richardson will talk about it. He switched the lines again in that game and then again today. But you're just kind of hoping that they could put it all together. Because some games they've been kind of slow through the first 2 periods and they turn it on in the third and almost come back. And then this one's kind of the opposite. They were playing better in the first 2 and then they couldn't complete it. It's just been the theme the last few years is not a full game effort. There's been lulls, and those lulls feel like they always cost them.
Yeah. Trying to get all 4 lines on the same page. And I know Luke did alter things up with the lines in game against Philadelphia too. It was Dickinson and Anderson in their usual spots together, but it was Bedard on the wing. And then after the first period, Bedard was centering a line with Taylor Hall and Teuvo Teravainen. And I thought maybe that was Luke's way of trying to counter Philadelphia's top line with Sean Couturier, trying to get some line matchups, even though he was the road team. So Philly got the last line change. And Philly oddly kept the Couturier line on Dickinson's line because I think the Hawks would have preferred it that way. But it's just tough. And I thought, too, it was noteworthy to me when Luke Richardson went to the fourth line. There was one, I think it was in the second period, where they went into the second TV timeout. I think it was the second TV timeout. And the fourth line had just turned in a really good shift. Go to the TV timeout, and Luke goes right back to the fourth line out of the TV timeout. And so it was really, really strong performance by the fourth line for Chicago. We talk about the line juggling. They juggle the lines again today at practice, and I'm not sure how much to read into the lines today. I think it's going to be a rough estimate as to what they're going to be on Wednesday. But Jason Dickinson took a maintenance day today at practice, so he wasn't there. He blocked that shot off his right hand against the Florida Panthers. He gutted it out the third period. He ended up playing against Philadelphia. Wasn't the best at the faceoff circle, so you wonder how much that impacted his ability to be at his best. And then today at practice, the lines were Taylor Hall, Connor Bedard, Philip Kurashev. Second line was Tyler Bertuzzi, Ryan Donato, Teravainen, Mikheyev, Foligno, Anderson was the third line, and then Maroon, Reichel, and Smith was the fourth line. So looks like Kurashev is going to draw back into the lineup after being a healthy scratch the last couple games. But I kind of like the way the lines are organized right now. When Jason Dickinson returns to the lineup on Wednesday, I'm not sure who is going to be the guy that comes out. Maybe it's Mikheyev. I'm not sure. But I think just looking at it from a raw perspective, I don't mind the way these lines were crafted today.
Yeah, I like them putting Kurashev back with Bedard. I would like to see Bertuzzi maybe get a chance with Bedard, but Taylor Hall is good too, just to try to give him some good offensive players to play with. He was playing with Dickinson and Anderson, who are very responsible players, and Dickinson can win the faceoffs more, but getting some more offensive firepower with him hopefully can help him and get him going, because just really for his sake and development, he needs to score soon, I feel like, because this is starting to get into his head a little bit, and he wants to produce. Even getting a couple points, maybe some good scoring opportunities like he had on Tuesday can maybe help jumpstart him as well.
Yeah, and Connor said that a few days ago, and it was talking about the confidence, and it was really the first time we had heard him. Well, I guess I should say it was last week, Hockey Night in Canada in Vancouver on Saturday, where Bedard was talking about how mentally tough it's been for him. He kind of snuck it in there, like mentally it's been tough, the drought and the season already, just the offensive struggles as a team, but him personally as well. And then he said it the other day. He said, quote, "It's been a tough stretch and you just feel like you don't have it or whatever, and you lose a bit of confidence and it kind of just goes on. Obviously, it's been a tough stretch for me, so just kind of keep going in every game, trying to be the best me, and hopefully things are going to come." So talking about how you lose a little confidence, and I think that's normal for a young player of his stature. I think, man, I share this example. I can't remember if it was on here, if it was somewhere else, but and I think it was the 2014 Stanley Cup playoffs where Patrick Kane went like 7 or 8 games without a goal, and the way he tried to dig himself out of the confidence, like his confidence took a hit, and the way that he tried to dig out of it was to watch YouTube videos of himself, like of his highlights,
like a hype,
and
like, yeah, hype like yourself up a
almost
little bit.
Like reminding himself that that's the player that he is and can be and still is, even in the prime of his career. And so no concern that Bedard losing a little bit of confidence is like a long-term thing. I just think this is going to be the ebbs and flows, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's actually better for this going through a tough stretch this early on, because he can navigate how he's going to handle difficult situations down the road. And it just doesn't feel like it's going to be a thing for him, because in a few years we're going to get to some of the prospects that are really popping, but some of those prospects that aren't even in the NHL yet, they're going to be so much better than some of the temporary solutions that the stopgaps that the line mates that Bedard is playing with now. And he's going to be a better player. He's going to have more confidence. So I'm not concerned one bit, but you see the back-to-back games without a shot on goal. Mm-hmm. And he's probably, you know, really frustrated with himself, because he's like, I went from, you know, I'm sure he has a really high internal goal total for him this season, and then, you know, now he's just struggling to get shots on goal. I'm sure he's kind of like, what is going on here? And it's almost like you're over-pressing because you're trying to just play your way out of this immediately.
Yeah, the great players all expect so much from himself, and that's what he considers himself. And it is, I think there was a texter on Saturday, it's like, he is just 19 years old. Like, he shouldn't have this much pressure, but that's just kind of what he holds himself to. So yeah. I agree. I mean, adversity, I mean, now, like, when they're not competing, like, going all the way in on a playoff, they're still trying to figure things out. So maybe getting this adversity now, and you can always grow from it, and he can figure out ways how he got out of it this time. So maybe the next time he goes through it, it's a little shorter or something. But I think he has struggled with this, even dating back to last season. It isn't like 4 goals in 30-something games or something like that. So maybe that's piling on too, but... yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is, if he can just score, everybody stops talking about it, hopefully, for a little bit. But it's easier said than done in the NHL when he's like the main focus on other teams' radar for a game plan.
Well, that's exactly it. It's every team that plays the Blackhawks, the coaching staff is essentially centering a game plan around number 98 because they know if you defend or if you keep him in check, you're probably going to beat the Blackhawks. And it sounds hypocritical for me to say Connor shouldn't be putting that much pressure on himself to be the solution and to not be the guy to bust out of his offensive struggles, while also saying that it's like if you contain Connor Bedard, you're probably going to win the hockey game. To me, I think it's more of an indictment on, I think guys like Taylor Hall, Teuvo Teravainen, Tyler Bertuzzi, those guys need to start stepping up offensively because Connor is shouldering a lot of this. He's wearing it on his sleeve. He's showing how much it means to him and how much he wants to break through. I mean, even in practice, I mean, he's always the last guy off the ice. He's grumpy after losses, and especially after losses where he's not producing, right? And it's because he holds himself to such a high standard, and you would like to see some of the other guys around him start to be like, hey, like Teravainen and Bertuzzi, Taylor Hall, these guys were brought in to play with Connor and to take some of the burden off of Connor's shoulders. And so they haven't been producing too. I'll even throw Philip Kurashev into that mix, although right. I have a little bit more sympathy for him because his situation changed compared to last year where he's not playing with Connor anymore. He wasn't on the first power play unit to start camp. He was on the second line center. So his situation is different, but the Hawks aren't getting anything from anyone.
Right.
And so Connor, unfortunately, is putting the burden on himself, but other players, veterans, guys that aren't producing right now also need to step up.
Yeah, it's definitely a team thing. I mean, this funk's been going on for really since they came home from that second West Coast trip at the beginning of the month. So, yeah, I mean, they need like a 5-goal game here sometime soon,
yes,
just so everybody can kind of breathe easy and just break out of this little funk here.
Absolutely. All right, we got to take a break. We got a Lucas Reichel interview coming up next.
Here with Blackhawks forward Lucas Reichel, back in Chicago after another road trip. You had one goal, an assist, and a season-high 5 shots on goal against Philadelphia on Saturday. Do you feel like that was one of your best games of the season?
Yeah, it was a good game by our whole line. I feel like Pad was really good. Like, he made some really good plays, and we just supported each other well, and especially on the rush, that's how we get our shots off. And yeah, it was a good game, but not enough to win against Philly.
On your goal, you were in the offensive zone and you end up tripping. Then there was an odd man rush the other way. Philadelphia obviously didn't capitalize, and then you had an odd rush the other way. Was that kind of a crazy sequence in your eyes?
Yeah, I tripped and then I looked behind me and they went on like 4-2, and I was just like, oh, please don't score now. That's gonna be all over the highlights and media, and then it went the other way. I don't know how, but yeah, and then went quick. Nice play by Pat, and then I had a empty net.
You mentioned your line with Pat Maroon, Craig Smith. Feels like when you guys, the three of you, are together, you have some chemistry. What is it about the three of you guys that you've been playing well together?
I don't know what it is. Just like, you know, like we support each other well. We have good chemistry off the ice too. I know they're like 36. They're way older than me, but still, like, we joke around. We talk a lot. Smitty's next to me in the locker room, and that makes it easier for me too. You know, like having the chemistry off the ice and on the ice. So it's been fun playing with those guys.
So I was looking at your numbers this year. When you're on the ice at 5-on-5, the Hawks have a +2 goal differential, which is third best on the team. How much do you take pride in that, you know, given where you were at last season and just you've been on the ice for more goals than against?
Yeah, I think it's just about our D zone, and as a center, I have more responsibilities as a D zone in the D zone, and just help our team win games. And I understand that if we play good defensively, we get our rush chances and we go to the other way to the offense easier. And it's still like I still can improve at it, no question about that, but it got definitely better.
the thing I feel like I've noticed from you this season compared to last season is your confidence has been high from start to finish. Do you feel that as well, or even on games where you're not producing, like I could still see you trying to make an impact on the game? Do you feel that?
Yeah, just, you know, even when you have like an off night, you don't feel as like 100%. Like, you still got to do something to help the team win, and that's what I always try to look at. And I don't go in a game like I want to score. Like, I just have like a couple things I talk with the skill coach and with myself. I think about before the game what I'm going to do to help the team, and if I do that, then the other things are going to come.
Like, I think about that Anaheim game on Tuesday, where I thought you were noticeable in that game, but you didn't have any points to show for it. Is that an example where you can be like, okay, I feel like I was skating, my legs were going, I was creating chances, I just eventually they're going to go in if I continue to play like that?
Yeah, exactly. I think as long as you have chances and you create your chances and stay good defensively, you, even if you don't score or don't have an assist, like you play it well. Like, if you don't get scored on, like, and we win, like, it's fine. Like, you don't have to look at points all the time, and just whatever to help the team win.
From a team perspective, I'm sure it's been frustrating that, you know, beating Florida but then losing to Philly and kind of just the ups and downs. Is that been frustrating not to be able to just string together some wins to get some confidence going in here?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's always like up and down. Even last year was a lot of up and downs, and we try our best. We try, but we still gotta, you know, we are so close this year, like every game. Like, I know it's, we talk about that a lot, like in the team, like we're right there. It's like 3-2 empty net for the other team, and then we lose. It's like we're close, but we just gotta like find ways to win those games, especially when we're like up 2-0 like last game, and just to play like smarter at the end of the game.
From that point, has it been a little bit more encouraging, whereas feels like last year the games kind of got out of hand in some losses, but this year the losses have been really tight? It's just trying to find that next goal to put you over the edge.
Yeah, and I feel like most of the games were like up 1-0 or 2-0, and then we kind of lose it in the third period. So I think for us it's just like sometimes we like back off too much in the third. Like, if we have the puck in the O zone and we recycle, like, then it's good. Like, they can't score, they don't have the puck. So just a little bit smarter sometimes at the end, and then I think we'll be fine.
Last one. I think last year you were dealing with something, and at the end of the last season you weren't able to get on the ice sooner. This summer you were able to take a few weeks off, then you got back skating. Have you seen that, the fruits of that this season, where you feel like you're back to maybe your former self of getting on the ice quicker in the off season?
Yeah, I feel like it's just good. Like, we play hockey, so I want to be on the ice, and I could have skated, but I talked to all the coaches like the year before, and they said like try to gain some weight and go in the gym. I think that's good, but I didn't skate, and then I felt like pretty heavy and terrible on the ice, and had over the season some not crazy, but some growing issues, or like my hips were always tired, like just didn't feel good. And this year summer I skated like 4 or 5 times a week, and just felt way better. And you kind of like wake up, and you know like you go on the ice today, like it's way better than going in the gym. Like, it's, I play hockey and you still gotta do both, but it's just like the motivation is there, and just like the fun, like the enjoying part was there this summer.
Awesome. Thanks, Lucas.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Blackhawks forward Lucas Reichel, who I chatted with after practice today. So one thing interesting that he said there at the end of the interview, I remember talking to him at the beginning of training camp, and he said, I think one of the questions we asked him was what he did differently this season compared to last season over the summer. And last year, he had gotten onto the ice late. It was he didn't get on until later on in the summer because he wanted to do off-ice stuff, but I also think he was dealing with an injury, and so the Blackhawks wanted him to fully heal that. And this year, going into the summer healthy, I think he said he took 2 or 3 weeks off at the end of last season, and then was on the ice pretty quickly after that, after kind of getting away from the game. And I think that's partly why he's come into this season with some more confidence, is because he was pretty much skating all summer. And so it's good to see that, it again, on the score sheet, the numbers don't look great, but the stat I had mentioned in there, how the Hawks have a +2 goal differential at 5-on-5 when he's on the ice. That's the third best on the team. I believe Connor Murphy is first at +4. And then I think it's Jason Dickinson right after that. I think it's like +3 or something. So nice to see Lucas on the positive side of that. And again, the numbers don't look sexy, but I still feel like Lucas's game is trending in the right way. And now it's trying to just get that consistency out of him and get the production to follow the process stats and him doing the right things away from the puck and generating chances, feeling like the confidence is growing. And so we'll see if he can build on that momentum. Hawks have a tough stretch coming up with Dallas and Minnesota and Winnipeg's on the schedule and the Devils, the Rangers. You got all these really good teams. So hopefully Lucas can build on Saturday's performance and carry that over into the next few weeks. And then hopefully they can build on that just production-wise. All right, we got one more break to get to on Blackhawks Live, then we'll wrap things up and we'll get to our Hawks click poll. Which Blackhawks prospect that's not in the pros yet are you most excited about? Oliver Moore, Nick Lardis, Sam Renzel, AJ Spellacy, or other? You can go on WGNradio.com/Blackhawks to submit your last vote, and then we'll reveal the results, and Jack and I will also weigh in on how we voted. You're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis here with Jack Heinrich. Let's get to our Hawks click. We teased it right before this. Which Blackhawks prospect that is not in the pros yet are you most excited about? We had four answers: Oliver Moore, Nick Lardis, Sam Renzel, AJ Spellacy, or other. We have a pretty even results, but I'm going to throw it over to you, Jack, before we share. Oliver Moore, Nick Lardis, Sam Renzel, AJ Spellacy, or other, who did you vote for?
I voted for Nick Lardis. Maybe that's just recency bias, but he's been on a tear with the Brantford Bulldogs. I think 22 goals in 21 games, something like that. Third round pick last year, and he's scoring a lot of goals, and that's something the Hawks need in the future, hopefully with Bedard. And this is a guy whose stock's risen a lot this last year, and was pretty impressive in training camp as well. If I had to pick a second one, I'd probably pick Spellacy just because of his performance in training camp this year, sticking around for so long.
Yeah. The phrasing of this question, who are you most excited about, makes me feel like Lardis too, just because of what he's doing. I'm intrigued by Sam Renzel, just because of the overall package. I mean, he's listed at 6'5". I mean, man, right-handed shot.
That size up the middle too.
Yeah, yeah, and so I think for him, just like right-handed shot too, really. Man, if he hits, I feel like I've always said he's the X factor in the Blackhawks pipeline, just because of his package. I think Oliver Moore, obviously former first round pick, he's had a little bit of an inconsistent start at Minnesota. Moore and Renzel are actually roommates. They were last year and they are again this year. The thing I like about Moore, he's won 51.8% of his faceoffs and he's taken 208 of them this season. So you'd like to see the offensive production go up a little bit and be a little bit more consistent. He's got 11 points in 14 games as a sophomore, which isn't terrible. But I think it was a little bit of a slow start for him, and now he's slowly starting to find his game. I will say there are so many other prospects that I can get to. Nick Lardis, by the way, was the winner of this poll, 33%. Sam Renzel came in second at 26%. Right behind him was Oliver Moore at 24%. AJ Spellacy was 13%, and we had other at 4%. And so I don't think you could go wrong with either one of these four. I think Spellacy, we got a really good glimpse of at training camp. Jack, he was one of the guys that he hung around longer than we all thought, and to the point where his OHL season started and he was still with the Blackhawks, and the Hawks were like, this is a pure reward for him. And so I think for him, he's got that football type background where for years he was battling between, or he was a dual sport athlete of playing football and hockey, and now he's all in on hockey. Man, I'm curious to see where he's going to be in a couple years when he actually invests all of his energy into hockey and he can provide that physicality and be a really nice piece for the Blackhawks if he hits that potential.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's been only like 3 or 4 years since he's solely focused on hockey. So, and he's already made this big impression in the year he got drafted in training camp. So, and like I said earlier, they need size up the middle at center if he can stick at center. They have drafted a lot of size there recently. So hopefully he can continue to develop as well. And they got some exciting guys. Like you said, there could be so many on this list. I think on Twitter I saw someone say they are most excited about Sacha Boisvert, a first-round pick this year, at North Dakota as well. So they got some interesting guys, and hopefully they can hit on most of them and they can get here soon.
Yeah, and even if they... Like, listen, mathematically, all of these guys aren't going to be wearing Blackhawks sweaters, but you still want them to develop into really good pieces one day, because then they can become potential trade bait, and you can land a big fish, and you can start patching up some holes once most of the prospects are starting to round out form, or their value is starting to increase and other teams are paying attention. And most of the Blackhawks prospects, like you just look at down the line, a lot of them are producing. And so it's encouraging to see. I think the challenge for Blackhawks fans is the impatience in wanting them to be here now, because it's easy to want to look at the results of the current Blackhawks situation and feel like, ah, man, they should start taking the next step. But then you realize a lot of these guys are either in college or juniors, and they haven't even jumped over yet to North America. And once they do, then the clock starts to tick. But it's still going to be a little bit of ways away for some of those prospects to make the jump over to North America. But you have to like Jack, what we see in the pipeline right now. It just feels like anytime I do a prospects update in the pregame show, it's like, oh, this guy popped. Oh, Nick Lardis had back-to-back hat tricks and 12 shots on goal. Like there are guys that to be excited about. And Nick Lardis, I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, he's a third round pick. Like he's not even a guy that the Blackhawks were like banking on to be a guy, like a foundational cornerstone piece. I'm not saying he's on the way to being that, but
right,
man, he is. I mean, he leads the league in the OHL in goals right now, and it feels like he continues to take that next step. And boy, he would look nice on Connor Bedard's wing one day if he does hit that potential. Him and Connor kind of playing off of each other and playing that speed type game.
Yeah, I mean, when I was filling in for you, I was looking the day before, and there was like five or six guys I could have picked for that on Saturday. I picked Nick Lardis, but I mean, Frank Nazar had a good week. If we're jumping to the pro level, like he had a good week, and a lot of people are starting to clamor for him to get called up. So they got guys close too, but a lot of them are still far away, which is exciting. But you can see why they're impatient, because you want the. It's been a while since the Hawks have been back in that Stanley Cup title contender race, or even just looking for a playoff berth as well, or just getting in the mix. So you can see why they're impatient, but hopefully soon these guys are going to be on the way, and maybe a couple of guys that are steals in the later draft area, like Lardis, and I think Spellacy was a little bit later too, a third round, something like that. So hopefully those guys can hit and continue, but it'll be interesting to see when these guys jump over to Rockford or closer to North America.
Agreed. You mentioned Nazar. I'm still on the bandwagon of patience. I think after the holidays, the Hawks should explore potentially calling him up, but I still think it's just a little bit too soon, because once he gets called up, you want him to be here for good. You don't ever want him to see Rockford again. So
you don't want the bus back and forth.
Exactly. He's been great though. So shout out to Nazar. All right. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We got Blackhawks versus Stars on Wednesday at the United Center. Pregame show starts at 7 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. We'll talk to you then.